The views and opinions expressed in the Humanizing the Headset podcast are those of the authors, guests, and hosts of the podcast, and do not necessarily reflect the opinion or position of Humanizing the Headset as a whole. This podcast may contain adult language and adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Carrie.
Hey, Norm.
Hey, Norm. Hello again, everybody.
Can we please start the podcast every time like that?
What is happening?
Yes, right.
That was great.
HTH.
Good Lord.
I feel like
we would lose listeners.
Both of them, come on.
Or get the wrong followers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is there such a thing as a wrong follower these days?
No. Probably not.
No.
Right. We'll take it. Doesn't matter.
Right.
But yes, so we're back.
We're back.
Another we are.
Fantastic Humanizing the Headset podcast of the world extraordinaire. No.
Right. Yes, and we're done with fun theme songs for a little while, which makes me sad because those were a lot of fun to do.
Listen,
I still haven't checked to see if I have bagpipes. I should do that tonight.
You have to do bagpipes for St. Patrick's Day. I will not accept anything else.
Agreed.
You could do adult movie music for Valentine's Day.
Oh God.
Oh.
Do like a smooth jazz kind of thing.
I want to see, though, like, for with the bagpipes, you should do like a club song or like Fireball on bagpipes.
Oh my God. That would be amazing.
There's probably like whole YouTube channels dedicated to people doing just that.
I'm sure.
I've seen people do like Thunderstruck on bagpipes.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
But stop giving me ideas of rabbit holes to go down.
Oh, right, you're like,
I spent 5 hours watching bagpipes.
Things to add to my Google deep dive list.
There you go.
Must Google modern covers on bagpipes.
So I hope everybody had a great New Year's, Christmas,
holiday, whatever.
Yeah. Festivus.
Whatever.
Christmahana Quantica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just glad it's over for the year, like for a whole year. Honestly. Now. Like this is the best time for me because I'm like, we are like the furthest away from next holiday season than we could be. And I'm totally good with that.
It's so stressful.
It really is.
And as a person who doesn't really want to be around other people all the time, the holidays are tough because you're like forced to be around just dozens and dozens of people constantly.
Well, and a lot of them are like family. So like you're further triggered because it's family.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we have like the ultimate excuse right now. Like for real.
True.
I skipped
two parties because I was like, I don't really want to get COVID. And then like half a dozen people ended up testing positive afterwards. So I was like, there you go.
And you could even take the high and mighty road. We're doing the right thing by staying home and protecting everybody. So
yeah.
That's what we're choosing to do this. And we hope you would respect our wishes. So
I mean, if you feel truly free to think just about
send
it,
our gifts. That would be
great. If you truly think about it, I mean, we've got the best excuse ever. Oh, sorry, I'm working. I mean, before I had kids, I volunteered to work the holidays. Like it's more money. It's getting me out of spending time with my family. Like this is amazing. But you know, with kids,
we all sound awful. We don't all hate our families, I swear.
No, I love my family, but you know, like I like all of them together. There's a lot of us and it's a lot. And
it is.
You know, sometimes I would prefer like, you know, a greeting card or a text message.
Yeah.
Small doses.
Right. Exactly. No, I told my husband, I was like, especially after working. Because there was I think two of the parties that I skipped were on days that I was working. And he was like, well, just stop by after work. And I'm like, I've already been overstimulated all day at work.
Right.
I don't want to go hang out in a house with 40 people. Like,
I want to do my ride home in silence and decompress.
Think about what I'm going to drink when I get home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, New Year's, I'm pretty sure I was off and I was in bed before 10.
This New Year's?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had the girls, but you know, like we did the midnight thing and then at like 12:20, I was like, all right, bedtime.
Yeah. 12:05.
They're old enough now that I could just like tell them what time to be in bed by and, you know, let them carry on.
I saw a video on Facebook. These parents were celebrating with their young kids and there was the countdown on TV, you know, 10, 9. And they're like, the kids are, yay. And she showed her like her phone on the video and it said 9:30 p.m.
I've seen parents will do that. They'll like pre-record a New Year's Eve like ball drop and then they'll put it on the TV and be like, all right, it's New Year's, you guys can go to bed now, and it's like 8 o'clock.
Right.
when my girls were little, it was we would do the New Yorks because it was an hour earlier and it was like, okay, happy New Year.
Nice.
Yeah,
very slick.
Yeah, I think I woke up to like fireworks and was like, woohoo, and then I went back to bed.
That's pretty funny. I think it would be funny when Brendan was doing the countdown. I was thinking you get all the way to one and then turn the TV off and see how everybody feels about it. Like,
oh my gosh.
That would be so messed up.
Everyone's did Y2K triggered. Just happen?
Oh my god.
I was just listening to a podcast where they were talking about that. And they were like, we're so dumb. Like, why did we think everything was going to go wrong?
Like when you're at this point in life and you look back on it, you're like, wow, they really overshot that.
Right.
Right. Like, we were so worried about nothing.
People are like withdrawing all their money from their bank accounts and stuffing it under their mattress Tuesday prepping.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Crazy.
They were just laughing though about it because they're like, oh, we thought our computers were going to malfunction and look at us now. Like, Jesus. Yeah.
I don't know. My pager still worked just fine.
Yes. Yes. My Prime Go phone was.
Well, was it the one with the little volume dial? It was the volume dial and the contact dial.
Oh my God.
I didn't even get a cell phone until 2004. So.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have one before that. I mean, I had some that I had gotten with the intention of hooking up. Like somebody had it and they're like, oh, hey, we're getting rid of this. Okay, sure. And now they're just archives. You know, they're like.
That's when it was like a bazillion dollars a minute. Like, yeah. I think I got my first cell phone in like 98 or 99. And it was like your first incoming minute was free. So like you'd talk really fast and then be like, call me back after 9 when all my minutes are free. Right.
I can't talk now. You're not part of friends and family.
10 cents a text message.
Too funny.
P9.
I remember when long distance was a thing when I was in college and I had a pager. So I ended up getting two separate phone numbers for my pager, one for the local area code and one for my home area code, just so people wouldn't have to use long distance to page me.
Charge.
Good God.
Tina says I had no area code.
We had to in Lake County because Lake County, you've always had to dial the area code since the 224 came out. So stupid.
Since the 224, back in the day, I think when I first moved up here, it was 708.
And yeah, then they in Lake County, it was
847. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's some kind of
90s, I remember when they added 847.
Yeah. And that was for Northern Illinois because, you know, Chicago and stuff was still 708. And then.
Well, Chicago was always 312 in the city, and then they added 773, which was because 312 stayed in like the loop, and then 773 was all the neighborhoods on the outskirts, and then any of the surrounding suburbs were 708.
708, yeah. It was crazy.
It is.
Confusing. I remember being able to dial 4 digits in a town that I lived in Missouri, and that was it.
Wow.
I could dial 4 digits and it would go to that person's house. You didn't have to do the whole number.
It's Missouri.
Well, right. And it was a town of 1,900 people.
So. Were you dialing from the first party line ever made?
Operator, connect me to 1257.
Yes, right. Hey,
hey. Bring me over to Scotty.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're talking to an actual operator.
The operator was Alexander Graham Bell's wife.
She's in there smoking a cigarette. Yeah, one sec, right. Hon.
That's right.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
His wife. I love how his wife's working for the company.
I love how on occasion, still now, we'll get the extremely elderly caller that will ask us to connect them to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Every once in a great while, I still get one of those.
Yep.
I have connect me to my doctor's office. I'm like, ma'am, I don't know who the fuck your doctor is. Who do you think you called?
Let me
your file just appeared.
Yeah. Or they're like, can you put me in touch with my cell phone company? I'm like, no.
No.
I don't have a transfer button for that.
I'd love to, but no.
I'm about to put you in touch with reality, ma'am.
Oh my God.
Anyway. So after that huge
tangent,
yeah.
what are we talking about today? We're talking about stuff in the 911 center, yes or no type things, right?
Yeah, hot takes, unpopular opinions, popular opinions. Because so we just did like a big shift switch. Is that, am I having a stroke? Is that the right? Yes.
Change.
Yeah, like everyone
keep going. This is great.
No, you're all like, sure, okay.
Go on.
Where like a bunch of different people kind of changed what rotation they were on.
Okay, yeah.
So now we're all back to like we've been working with these people for a year or a couple of years. For me, it was I've been with my partner for 5 years. And now everyone changed. So we're trying to get used to other people again.
So was this did you guys bid for this or was this like a management shakeup?
No, it was a bid. And it was like, you know, two people wanted to change and that bumped a bunch of people off of their shifts.
Okay.
So, and I mean, it was, you know, there was a little rocky, but everyone's cool now. Everyone's fine with where they landed.
You mean the dispatchers weren't for the change?
Right, exactly.
I think that's our first one. Change, yes or no? No.
They weren't super excited to completely turn their entire world upside down. No, but it's just been interesting because it's like, okay, well, now we have to get used to each other again. And like, how do you do things on your shift? And
right. And everybody's
obviously
and
big sure. Normal like policies. We're not, you know, like, oh, we answer 911 calls. Do you guys answer 911 calls too? Or do you let them ring? Nothing like that. But it's just been funny to like, you know, well, how do you guys do this typically on your shift? There's a shift or a seat rotation where like everyone sits, you know, we don't sit in the same spot more than once. And I don't know. It's very confusing, but
really
not more than once, but we rotate every day because it was causing issues for people to be sitting
because
in the same
somebody
spot.
Kept sitting in the same seat by the bar all the time. And
yeah.
It wasn't fair to everyone else.
Yeah.
What's the significance of the seat? Do you have specific
tasks what
that
you're
are
doing?
Assigned? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. See, so we had assigned seating for a while because of COVID. But then when we got Leeds 3.0, or maybe it was a little bit sooner than that, Leeds was only assigned to one terminal. So anyone who was assigned at that station had to rotate out. So mostly everyone still sits in the same spot, but when we rotate to Leeds, we have to move.
And it's hard when we have trainees. I mean, like, I don't think anybody's like necessarily married to consoles in our center.
Yeah, no, like, we kind of just sit like, wherever's
not
open.
COVID, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily the seat that matters. It's the tasks for the day.
Okay.
Right.
So like, it doesn't matter where you're sitting, but it's what are you assigned to for the day? And people were getting frustrated because you know, people were being forced to sit call taker 4 days in a row. And they're like, I'm so tired of taking phone calls. I want to be on the radio. Like,
so are not all of your consoles equipped to function fully as any position?
No, they are. That's what I'm saying. Like, I guess the seat doesn't necessarily matter. It was the tasks.
Okay.
But we just call it like sitting police or sitting fire. Like, oh, that's what you're okay. doing for
okay.
the day.
I yeah. get it. Okay.
Oh.
So it was like a, it wasn't indeed. The physical seat. It was a
position. It was the right. shift assignment for the day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Got it.
Right.
But we call it your seat or where you're sitting. So
sure.
So yeah, it's been interesting. It's only been a couple of weeks. And then of course, half of the staff is out with COVID right now. So we haven't been working with who we're supposed to be working with anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's just been sort of we're all flying by the seat of our pants right now.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make sure we're staffed.
That's just how it is. I mean, for us, it's, you know, we have somebody in training, we're still separated. If, you know, as a supervisor, I have to assign the seats. You know, I go through and I do the schedule, and typically what I try to do is spread the work out, you know, just like you're talking about, as best right. as I can. But if in the alternate center, there are people that aren't there, well, we can't have them work the radio because the person that's supposed to back them up, or if their backup is in an entirely different room and it doesn't work. I mean, we can make it work if we have to, but why? So that means potentially somebody else is doing a double task, you know, for the second time in the week, or, you know, because I usually try to do, if we have everybody working, the goal is to have everybody do one of each position for the whole week. So they'll be the center person on the radio, they'll be backup, they'll do leads, and then the other days are usually call taking, right? That's the ideal goal. So everybody's only doing one thing other than call taking a week so that the work is spread out. But with people out and being separated and stuff, it creates a whole other, I have like this matrix in my head. I'm like, okay, this person did it here and this person did it here. So I have to try and, so it's-
yeah. You need to have Paul make his spreadsheet.
I was going to say, it probably resembles like a Chinese checkers board where you're just like, I don't know. We're all moving weird directions. Like, I don't know where we're supposed to be going.
I literally, when I'm making the schedule, and that's if nobody asks for time off in that period, right?
Right. Or,
oh, here's the schedule. As soon as I get it done, somebody's like, oh, I want to take this day off. I'm like, you son of a... I get that twitch going. But yeah, it's... I'll usually have two or three windows open because I'll also look at, okay, so the way the schedule is, I don't see last week's or whatever. So I have to have it open so I can see, okay, where are we at? Because on the schedule, it goes by our pay period, but our days overlap. That's just, yeah.
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 Exciting.
No.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fun. But anyway, so... there's half our podcast. It was great talking to you guys today. We'll see you
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God.
Oh God. So one of the things I have it here because Kaylee sent it to all of us. Otherwise, I would have no idea what the list of questions was. I think this the first one on our list, the cell phones at the console, yes or no, is a big one. Centers. So
yep.
We kind of allow it, you know, we have it there. Everybody knows that you're not, you know, if it's slow, that's one thing. If it becomes a problem, it's going to get yanked is what's going to happen. And that's what we were told. So
right.
For the longest time, we weren't allowed to do it or have it. And, you know, we've been allowed to have it at the console, but obviously if you're busy, you shouldn't be on your phone and, you know.
Yeah, ours is, it's a common sense. It's not, we don't have like a policy, but it's if it was a policy, it'd be a common sense one.
Right.
Excuse me. Just don't do it while you're, you know, giving CPR instructions or whatever, you know.
Right, because we had like a pretty strict rule about it before a few years ago where it was like, absolutely not, the cell phone cannot leave this area. Like cell phones have to be left in this specific area of the room.
Oh, wow.
And it was because, and I don't, to be honest with you, like, I don't know the full accuracy of this, but our manager at the time said it was because anything that's actually on the dispatch floor is subject to FOIA.
Hmm.
Now, any lawyer that would actually ask for those records, I don't know how they would even know to ask for them.
Where it's at, right? Well, I feel like if something were to happen, they're going to FOIA your phone anyway.
Right.
Because they're going to want to make sure that if something got screwed up, they're going to want to make sure you weren't distracted doing something.
Right.
So it's going to be almost an immediate thing that they do.
Because I remember seeing a few years ago a video on the news of a dispatch, I think it was a trainer, and she also may have been a supervisor, who was actively training someone. That person was taking like a higher priority call, and instead of helping him, the trainer was like, you could see her in the video scrolling through her phone.
Yeah.
And the news was like calling her out for it, because they're like, this trainee, I don't know, somehow messed up whatever they were doing. I'm pretty sure someone got very injured or died. And they were blaming it on, well, his trainer was sitting there on her cell phone scrolling through Facebook instead of paying attention to what was going on. So that like weird video always pops into my head when I have my cell phone out. And I know that's probably like weird, but.
I get that. I think like how it is at our center, it should be common sense. I also don't like when one person ruins it for everybody else. If you've got one person that's like screwing something up, take it to that person. Don't punish the rest of the group, because I think that lowers morale and opens up other issues as well.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you have to. So we've had people where they take a call at their desk, you know, that's next on their personal calls at the desk. And I don't think it would be an issue if you were completely separate from other people.
Sure.
And it's a break time, right? But when do you declare? So in our center, we don't declare breaks. We just go, I'm up, you know.
Right.
I don't want anybody ever answering their personal cell phone at their desk. Go in the other room. Pick it up if you have to. And you should only be
picking it up. And tell them to hold on and say, hey, I got to get up and take this.
There's so many things that are distracting. I mean, the cameras, Ring doorbells, you know, I hear that. I hear people watching Ring doorbell and it could literally take you out of it, especially, you know, in the middle of a call. That's one of those things. And then again, taking a call at your desk, you know, I know it comes up, but I don't want you to be sitting there talking because it's distracting to everybody else.
Sure.
And you have to watch it, you know? So if you notice that that's happening a lot, and then now you have to say, hey, listen, you're taking a whole lot of personal calls at your desk or in general and taking breaks to go do it. This is an issue. And that's that balance, you know, people have to be
right.
The time that we live in, see, kids, when I was a youngster.
Dialed four digits.
That's right, when I dialed four digits down in Missouri.
Got Alexander Graham Bell's wife on the phone.
That's right. Bessie Bell. I think her name was Bessie.
Bell. I do believe you're correct about that. Her name was Bessie Bell.
That's right. We just rewrote history right here, folks.
Ma Bell.
Yeah, Ma Bell. That's what he called her. He was Pa Bell.
Right, at home, yeah. Right.
Anyway.
But I think it becomes a... people have to be connected because that's how it is nowadays, right?
Sure.
This is the world we live in. We are always connected.
Accessible, so, yeah.
Yes, to our families and everything. And they have the ability to be connected to us. So we have to... it's allowed there... And it's part of life, but we have to moderate it. And people, you know, back in the day, they didn't just get to call you at work constantly if they had to know, you know, where's the flour? I thought we got some flour, you know.
Right.
Before, you had to just figure it out for yourself, or, you know, go get some, or until you could talk to that person. Now they can just ask you real quick. They don't even have to go in the damn kitchen to look for it. They're like, where's the flour? Okay. You know that's happening, right? You know,
right, yeah.
Somebody's husband is like, where are the bathroom towels? The same fucking cabinet that it's always been in. But they'll ask the question before they actually ever go look. So it's too accessible. So we have to, and if you, as the person who's getting the questions, are always responding, then you're always going to be bothered by it, and it becomes a distraction. And that's, you know, to me, that's a big deal, or can be a big deal. So sure. Way too easy to get sidetracked with that stuff. But that's,
yeah, we had an employee a long time ago who used to take personal calls on the work phone all the time. And I always thought that was really weird, because I'm like, everything you're saying is being recorded, even if it's nothing, even if it's mundane.
Right.
Like, it's still weird. And it can be
one of you who yell at her kids all
the time on the phone, on the work phone, would yell at her kids on the work phone all the time. And it was like,
oh,
like, and I know not us, a different agency. And I know, you know, like, you could hear her yelling at her kids, like, well, I was keying up on the radio to, like, give out calls.
Yes. Yes. And it would just be like, this employee, they would talk about just nothing, like what they got shopping. It was nothing interesting.
You know, it was the I'm at fucking work. And it was like, oh.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Go ahead with your traffic.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't feel like, you know, at least at our center, we really have an issue with personal phone calls, but I'm sure other centers have that problem. And
there's always going to be people that handle it differently, you know, and that's, you know, I would say that I think everybody's pretty adult by us as well.
Yeah.
Occasionally, like, things is a way of saying they push the boundaries. Like, they're always going to try, and you give them a little bit and they want to take a whole lot more. Oh, well, it's okay if I got my phone, so why can't I just pick it up here? You know?
Right.
None of us need to hear your conversation. And second of all, it's just distracting. And if it's happening a lot, then it's a problem. Nobody else is doing it. Why do you think you should be able to do it? You know,
I will say, with the cell phones at the consoles thing, one of my biggest pet peeves is if I'm listening back, because I do recordings for court for our agency occasionally, or for an officer if they need a recording of a call. If I listen back and I hear your fucking Snapchat alert or your Facebook Messenger alert in the background of the call, that makes me so angry.
Well, because everybody knows what that is. And
it sounds so unprofessional. You're literally on the phone with a domestic and I can hear someone's Facebook Messenger going off. Like,
right.
Turn your phone on silent. Yeah, put your phone on silent. And I know people forget when they come in, but me, I put it on silent before I even walk in the door. Because I don't want my phone
ringer
noise.
Is like never on, because I have my smartwatch. So like, yeah. If I'm not wearing my watch, I forget to turn my ringer on my phone. And then like, I'll go hours and pick up my phone and be like, holy shit. Like,
did something happen? Everyone sent you messages. Yeah. I'm the same. When I take my watch off, I'm just completely disconnected. Sometimes it's on purpose. You know, like, I don't want to be, you know, but yeah, someone on Facebook made a good point about the phones. She said, it's Ashley. She said, focus on work first. If you have free time, cell phones are fine. And she says, I'm not paid to be busy. I'm paid to be good at my job. And I think that that's a fair point, because our industry is in the moment.
Right.
Right. So if the phone's not ringing,
there's not always something to do.
Sure.
Right. And there's always, if you have time to lean, you have time to clean. That's not like, that's not something that's for our industry. Like,
if grocery store. Yeah.
If the phone's not ringing, if there's no calls coming in, if there's no teletypes coming in, you're kind of like, well, what do you do? You know, I mean, there's always stuff you can do, of course.
Right. But if you need to be sitting there and be prepared to take a call, then you have to be sitting there prepared to take a call. You can't necessarily get up and start working on something.
Nothingness can change in a blink, and all of a sudden it is everythingness. And you know,
and sometimes it's just nice to sit there and not have to do anything, because let's be honest, we don't take breaks. We don't take actual breaks. We get up and we go to the bathroom, we heat up our food, which we eat at our consoles,
right?
You know, but we don't take breaks. We don't leave the room to do, you know, to do anything. You know, we're always at our desk. So if it's not busy, I will do what I need to do at my console, because I don't leave my desk, you know, and I think that's a fair trade.
My I was gonna say the other thing that I try to do this with my trainees to like teach them this way. Before you get on your phone, look at your desk, like look at your console. Is anyone's timers going off? Is everyone's paperwork done? Is everyone running attached to your calls? Then you can go on your phone.
Right.
But make
sure
you're
at least,
that's what
I used to do when I was a smoker.
Yeah, glance up and make sure that like you don't have an officer out on a traffic stop that you haven't heard from in 10 minutes.
Right.
Make sure that you finished all your arrest paperwork. Make sure. So I try to do that too. Like before I bury my nose in my phone, I try to look up and like, okay, right. is everyone cool right now? All right, now I can look at my phone.
Make sure everything is taken care of. I remember when I was new, we had someone who worked with us who no longer works with us. We got a call for an ISBN request for a DUI. He gets all the information, writes everything down, and he gets up and takes a smoke break.
What?
And one of the other people in the, we didn't have a supervisor in the room at the time. This, so the one person is like, I don't think he did the ISBN. And we were kind of busy that day, so it'd be very easy for anyone to kind of overlook it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And everyone's like, really, he didn't? And he's like, no, I don't think he did. So he comes back in the room, and our culture has changed a lot, by the way, since then. Right. But he comes back in the room, and I shit you not, every person in that room took turns ripping him a new asshole. Some of them did it twice, and I was in training. So I'm like, oh my God. So I'm scared shitless, right? I'm like, I can't fuck up anything here, because they literally all took turns. You can't do this, and what if this, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, holy shit. It was brutal, but... Yeah.
Now you know that's kind of a big fuck up to have. Like,
no, it really is. Because if something would have happened,
I need an ambulance. Avoided. Yeah, one sec. I'm going to take a break and then I'll dispatch them out when I get back. Like, no, right. We got to do it now.
Right. Well, they're already dead, so I can take a break. It's fine.
Oh my God.
That was crazy.
That is crazy. I wasn't there for that, obviously, because you were in training, but yeah. I could see that. But you know what? That's the one cool part that I don't think a lot of people probably realize we do, because in normal, we'll say normal jobs, you know, normal office jobs, you have a supervisor or a manager. And if somebody screws up or whatever, that person handles it all the time. Whereas right. by us, you know, yes, it is the responsibility of the supervisor to have a conversation with people. However, we self-police, for lack of a better term, one another.
We look out for each other.
Yeah. Well, and not just that, we correct one another. Like, we can do it.
Right.
We're all sitting in the same room and we know how important it is. And sometimes it means, I mean, if you get reamed by your coworkers, by all of your coworkers, that should mean something to you that they all did that.
Yeah.
They're not everybody's being a bitch about it or being an asshole about it. They're
right.
Oh no, they were.
Yeah. Well, no, they're not.
I know.
Most of them weren't doing it to be a bitch or a jerk about it.
Right.
But you know, it's good, because that's one thing I really like about it is we hold each other accountable, and we should be able to have those conversations with your coworkers, because they're doing the same job. And there's a standard that we have, and you shouldn't take it as anything other than, hey, they're looking out for you. And if you're the one that screwed up and somebody approaches you to talk to you about it and you get pissy, then that should tell you something about yourself. You can't take criticism from. It's not because they're high and mighty. It's because, I don't know. I feel like it means something more. Almost that when a coworker in our industry comes to you about something versus having a supervisor pull you in the office to talk to you about something.
So. Right. Well, and it's almost
more important for us to praise each other than, you know, I think it means more coming from like the telecommunicator sitting next to you saying, hey, you know what, that was a tough call. You did a good job. I think most of us in there would much rather hear it from our partners than getting a letter from administration saying,
right,
hey, 2 years ago you took this call and you did a really good job. You know, like in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, right. I guess I don't even remember taking that call.
Yeah.
Are you sure that was me? No, and I think too, it's like, it's love and respect for your partner to be able to be like, hey, you forgot to do this, or you fucked this up. Like, I'm not saying it to be mean to you. I want to make sure that you keep your job.
Right.
You know, so, and that's, I don't care how much experience you have or what your title is, if you're not able to give and accept the same amount of, you know, criticism or corrections from your coworkers, then there's a problem.
Agreed. I think it's interesting on this list of questions. The last one says marijuana use. Are we talking about in the center, like while we're working?
No, obviously not in the center.
I can hear your bong in the background.
That's right. It's just the water bubbler. Don't worry
about that.
I was going to say that might be easier to cover up than someone's Snapchat sound.
Yeah, right. It's my diffuser. It's fine.
I've been pulled in a couple times for foul language being heard on tapes. One time Norm was blamed for it.
Yes.
One time I remember you guys talking about that before.
Oh my God. So when we got this CAD that we have, it wasn't too long after we got it. And it's, you know, it's challenging, we'll just say. And Brendan has particular
issues. Bring it nicely.
And I truly believe that some of the stuff that happens with Brendan is Brendan works so fast with the keyboard and stuff that it can't keep up. And then it just throws an error, or something happens that, you know, it's just catching up when he's doing. I'm not even kidding. I'm dead serious, because like, I don't have the same challenges for the most part that he does. And I think it's because he's so keyboard centric and quick that it can't do it as fast as he's able to. And that's just a flaw in the system. Not that it's a credit to him that he breaks the software, but it's bullshit that he has to deal with it. So I got, somebody goes, one of the supervisors sent it to our supervisor because she had to pull a tape for it. And she points out that, you know, they're yelling in the background when we listen to it. I even thought it was me, but I'm like, I don't remember yelling that.
Right.
It was our supervisor was Paul at the time. And all we hear is, God damn it, Paul, this fucking CAD. And this is what you hear in the background of this call. And I was like, and they were all giving me crap about it for like a week. And then we're listening to it and I realized, that ain't me, that's Brendan. And then I was like, yeah, I just took the blame for it for like a week. I'm like, I don't remember doing that. But,
my CAD stop working in the middle of me being on a call, you know, and it's like, suddenly I can't, it's like typing hieroglyphs instead of actual words. And I'm like, what? And shit's happening. I'm like, this cannot happen while I'm on a call. And it happened like 7 or 8 times a day, you know, and
our noise canceling mics and mute buttons do such a good job.
I never do that when I'm on the phone with somebody. No.
No. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, we have noise canceling mics. They shouldn't be picking up what you're saying.
No, you're absolutely right.
From 7 feet away.
Yes. Well, no one should hear my goddamn it, Pauls.
We're still recorded when we mute.
Oh.
It's just that the caller can't hear us.
Oh, see, we have like switches that plug between the headset and the transmitter. And they don't mute you. Like, you mute it, they can still hear you.
Yeah, sometimes it'll happen. But on our end, you flip that switch, it's cutting the signal from your mic to the console. So on the phone, if you hit mute, that's just preventing them from hearing you.
Right.
But with the mute switch, it doesn't record that. It doesn't record us if you're just flipping that switch.
It's always awkward because on the recording, it sounds like there's no differentiation between, oh, this person's muted. It sounds like everything you're saying is the caller can hear you too. Huh. And people don't realize the caller can't actually hear us. But again, that's why we're not like, mute. Oh, this fucking idiot. I can't believe this guy called 911.
Yeah.
It sounds like the caller can hear all of that. And you're like, this sounds really good for call.
Don't leave your fucking shit in a hotel room. That kind of stuff.
Yes. We had that one. One of our former supervisors said that.
His trainee was taking the call. And this one, and it was about some items that were stolen in a hotel room in another country. And they were filing the report, and the trainee was taking the call. And the trainer, who was a supervisor, said, "That's why you don't leave your fucking shit in a fucking hotel room." And wasn't
oh,
muted.
Wow. I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about that at work.
We won't name names right now. Yeah. But that
if it helps, I'll just say suck balls.
Ah. Gotcha.
So that's, you know, that's an interesting question, because we're all, it's not on this list, but because we're talking about it and a lot of it involves cursing, do you think, are there policies? I know we don't have a policy that says no cursing, but we've had people, when you say a certain word, like somebody gets mad enough to drop a certain inappropriate word that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily be comfortable with, the see you next Tuesday.
Yes.
But, you know, we've had somebody say, "We don't say that." But what's who's we? Who's we?
Right.
First off, yes, like, it was said.
Humanity.
It was in the moment, you know, and that's how it was. It wasn't directed at another coworker or anything. But do you, I mean, obviously I doubt that you have a policy, but do you think anybody has policies out there that are no cursing type of thing?
I mean, probably. We, at one point, and this was before I got there was like a swear jar, but that went way out the window. I don't even think they were able to keep
the
up
first
with
day because it overflowed.
Right, yeah, there's like $500 in there.
Because then all the employees retired with the money that was in the swear jar.
I just deposited my life savings in 2 hours. This shit's gotta go.
But I mean, I will say it is tough because we have some people whose voice is loud and it carries.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, deeper, or, you know, some of the guys are louder than some of the girls are. So when they're yelling or cursing, it's picked up on everyone's mic that they're like, fuck, from across the room. And you're like, "I'm on the phone. Shut up." Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys, I don't even know if any of you were on when this happened, but this was hysterical. A few years ago, we ordered ice cream. And one of our dispatchers was on the phone with you guys. Luckily, it was one of you, like not an actual caller, because the ice cream got there and my partner yelled, "Lieutenant Dan, ice cream," like so loud that everyone's mic picked it up. And she didn't realize that one of us was on the phone, and she was like, "Oh my God. Like, did your caller hear that?" But it was
That's amazing.
You, so like, it was fine. But we always like die laughing about that, because it was so, you can hear it loud and clear in the background of the call, like just all, out of nowhere, it's dead silent, and then she's like, "Lieutenant Dan, ice cream." Like,
amazing.
I was having a conversation with one of my partners a few months ago, and I was talking about this pizza that I had, and she went to turn to talk to me about it, and as she went to like push herself, she hit the pedal, the transmit pedal on the floor at the same time she was saying, "That sounds fucking delicious." And it actually wasn't on our main channel. It was on the one that one of our side bands. So we got like a few calls like, "What sounds delicious? We want to know what's delicious," you know? But yeah, it was kind of a like, oops, like we'll move the floor pedal over there.
Yeah. Oh, we all the time. We just had one the other day where, what did she say, like Jesus Christ or something, and everyone started calling us like, "Who's praying on the radio?" And I'm like, "No," because that's, she keyed up and that's all anyone heard was Jesus Christ.
That's funny. Attention.
Yeah, I think it's important to be like cognizant of what you're saying in the room, but like I think a no swear policy is
unreasonable,
because If you can't handle swear words in a 911 center where you answer the phone and all someone does is swear at you, this isn't a fucking job for you. It's just not. You know, and if you can't handle your coworkers dropping some F-bombs every now and then, it's a stressful job. We react to things. It's, you know, you can't expect.
I had a woman call me a racist bitch and told me she was going to shoot me in the head because I asked her where she was. When she called me, That is
very racist, Sheree.
It is. It's a very racist question.
I'm like, okay. But I ask everybody that question because it's like the first question of dispatch is, where are you? So I'm really sorry that you feel that way. And I'd love to send you some help, but I'm going to ask you again, where are you?
Mm. And you've never asked me that question.
Norm, I don't care where you are.
Because he's white.
That's right. That's
my clearly.
How dare you?
Oh my God.
We actually had, though, movie. We actually had a number of years ago. It was very interesting. I don't even remember why it was, but everybody from our department went to the main training building. And so, you know, for those of you that are not familiar, our dispatch center is not even close to our main building. So it's in a whole other town, like 25 minutes away. And so we sometimes have to go there. Usually you don't want to go there because that means you're in trouble for something. But in this case, it was like a training day. And we got to sit with the county attorney. And she was talking about, I think it was like a HR type of thing. But she
was
literally,
the cultural diversity?
It might have been that back then. It was. I remember it was a little blonde lady that was the attorney. And I specifically, because I took away from that and I hold on to it dearly, that she specifically said, there is no issue with you swearing as long as you're not doing it towards somebody, like you're not being derogatory mm-hmm. towards them. Otherwise, she said, we're adults. It's not illegal. It's not against any kind of HR rules. It's perfectly fine to do. And I was like, yeah,
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Use your words. Oh, I do. I use my words. Don't worry.
You'll hear them in the background of a call when I'm just in the background going, fuck.
That's not true. That's Brendan.
It's Brendan. Yeah. Yeah.
It was me.
It's so, me.
We were talking about marijuana use. So, you know, I know so many places like tout drug-free workplaces, and I'm going to go back, you know, years here. You know, that's great that they test for marijuana. I would personally, and I'm not talking about using it before you come into work, because I don't think anybody should be intoxicated when they come to work. But I mean, I would much rather have a capable pothead that knows what they're doing to actually do the job than somebody that has no idea what they're doing, drug-free or not, and is like freezing, like, you know, going to the Secretary of State's office to renew my driver's license, and you're trying to talk to somebody and they're just like clueless. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's some potheads that are capable that could actually do it. I mean, it's same thing with alcohol, you know, do it on your free time.
Well, I was going to say, if you treat it the same way that alcohol is treated, and I'm very like, I never really even experimented with marijuana when I was a kid because I just like wasn't interested. I was too scared. It's too much of a goody two shoes. I didn't want to get in trouble. So as someone who definitely had like that stigma about marijuana growing up and even a little bit still now, I don't see an issue with it as long as you're treating it the same way that you treat alcohol. Like you shouldn't That's be doing it excessively. It shouldn't be affecting you
don't
outside
drive.
Of right. Like don't drive, don't yeah. go into work. But if you're on your 3-day weekend and you want to have an edible before you go to bed or, you know, just to watch a movie, like fuck, go for it. I don't fucking care. I don't know why it would matter.
Yeah. I don't see it being an issue either. Like I'm of the same mind. Like it's same thing with alcohol, you know, I mean,
but just,
like,
and I mean, just to clarify for legal reasons, I do not do that because it is actually not allowed at right. my center. Right. We are not allowed to use marijuana. There's a policy about it. But recently, not recently, but within the last couple of years, marijuana was legalized where we are. And yep. Some of our employees were understandably upset that there was still a policy that we can't use it.
Right.
So yeah. I mean,
well, because it's still illegal at the federal level.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't. So two things. One, I wanted to point out something that you said, Sharice, is a functioning pothead. Some people might be able to function while having done it or doing it, but somebody else may not. So where's
I was saying like in general, because like, you know, you're going to fail a drug test if you use marijuana. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to use it before work.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying is somebody that, you know, they might be a pothead, but they might be really smart and able to do the job really well. You know,
Let's see the key.
Is pot going to hinder them? I mean, meth. Okay. Yeah. Let's not hire somebody that smokes meth regularly.
Yeah. But they might get more work done. That's solid too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got some shit to file. Let's smoke some meth and get this shit filed. Let's get this done. Okay.
Let's get our lead audit done. Yeah.
But I think the difference though is you can't, as an agency, there's no way to figure out who's capable. Because I know some people that smoked, and then I know some people that took an edible and they freaked the hell out. They can't handle it. You know, so
right.
It depends on the person, and there's no way to police that. There's no way to know who in your agency is going to be that person. So sure. You have to have a policy of yes or no. That's a huge thing. And then going back to what you said federally, for those that don't know it, it's a little bit of a tangent, but not much of one. You know, there's still a lot of things. So if you owned weed stock, or you own a dispensary and you get income from that, you can't actually use that income when you're going to buy a house. You can't use it because it's illegal.
Because FDIC doesn't touch that stuff.
And the loans are typically done by the federal government, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, that type of thing. So they will not, the federal government says no. So you can't use that income from that or the money. So if you have, you know, $100,000 in the bank, you cannot use that as part of your loan or your down payment or anything if it comes from the sale of the legal sale of weed. Obviously, if it's illegal, there'd be no way to know that.
Well, and I know originally too, I think when Denver legalized it, because I knew somebody that had been out there and they said that everything was cash because the banks, being federal, they couldn't process any of this. So everything had to be cash. But somebody said that that's changed now. I don't know what's changed, but apparently you can use cards at dispensaries. I don't know. I don't go to them.
Never been to one.
Been I wouldn't one. Know. Yeah, I've never been in one. No, legit. I've never been in one. I mean, I don't know
if like some things have changed, because it sounds like they are starting to be able to like bank and things like that, you know, with proceeds from there. I don't know. Numbers aren't my thing.
Right. I know. I'm with Kaylee though. If it's your weekend or you go out of town, let's say you're on vacation, you go to Vegas. First off, you can walk through Vegas and get freaking stoned just from the
contact.
Yeah. As soon as you land in Vegas, you're already absorbing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody get me some French fries. But, you know, I could care less. You know, states are legalizing it. You're not coming into work that way. So I honestly wouldn't care. I think, and some people are using it medicinally as well for anxiety. Right. If there's a reason to use it, it's this job, you know, outside of it.
Yeah.
So
the problem is it's measured too.
Right.
Because
there's no way to know when it was taken. That's the tough part.
Right. So it's very different from alcohol in that sense.
Yeah.
And then some employers will take like hair samples where it stays in your DNA for like 7 years or some shit.
Right.
You know, so you're applying for this job, you know, and you smoked or ate an edible, you know, 6 years ago, you know, and now you're not getting this job because of something that you did that long ago. Like, that's just not fair. And I understand that the industry that we're in doesn't support, you know, that kind of use, but it's also a social thing, because you know, we can all go out and get fucking hammered, you know, at a bar,
that's
socially acceptable.
I don't drink. Like, I'm just, there's nothing going on. Like, I'm not an alcoholic, nothing like that. I just, it's never been my thing.
Yeah.
But I've always said, like, if at some point I had a job that allowed me to try an edible, I probably would, because I feel like if everyone's getting drunk, maybe that would be my thing, because I've never really liked drinking. It's never interested me. Like, it tastes bad. I feel like shit the next day. I don't want to be sick. I don't know.
Yeah. So,
but there's no way to measure it. So then on the flip side of that too, like Norm was saying, you know, you don't know who's going to be okay with doing it and coming into work and who's not going to be okay. If you have someone coming into work who is like not performing well, or like they're clearly under the influence, or you feel like they're under the influence, and then you test them and they test positive, but they could say, well, I did it 3 dates ago, and that's right. why I'm so right. there's no way to know, and there's no way to right. then discipline that person for coming into work under the influence, because you can't prove that they're actually under the influence right now.
Right.
Unless, I mean, unless we're talking about alcohol, but with not with marijuana.
Right.
So yeah, it's a double-edged sword, I think.
Blood draws. We're going to just start doing blood draws when we come into work.
Even then, I still think it's in your system with our for a little while. Right. I mean, we're already doing temperature logs. So what's the difference?
What's your THC level today?
Yeah, I'm going to need a stool sample. Here's this bucket.
Bucket?
A whole bucket?
Well, it's
good Lord.
A thing you put on the toilet that you just into, right? Yeah.
Is that the technical term there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've read it in the Journal of Medicine.
So. Yes. It's all part of Grey's Anatomy there.
That's right.
While he was sitting on his bucket.
Right.
Well, and then, like, so... I'll say in that same vein, even though I guess it's sort of stereotyping, but tattoos and piercings and mm-hmm. different colored hair is a big one at our center. Because we were not really allowed to do that until kind of recently. And just to like clear, we don't have contact with the public at my center. We never actually see them face to face at all. It never happens.
Unless you count DoorDash.
Right. And even then, like, I'm like, leave it at the door. I'll come up when you're gone.
Right.
I dyed my hair blue a couple of years ago. And I had asked my manager first if it was okay, because our policy does not specify whether or not we can have like differently colored hair. And her answer was kind of like, it doesn't really affect how you do your job every day. So I don't care. But then, of course, the chief of police sees me and he's like, your hair's blue. And I'm like, yeah, is that okay? He's like, I guess.
I'm supporting you guys. It's the thin blue hair strand.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I don't know what he's going to do if I do it red, but.
That would be me. I had the thinning blue hairline, the thinning blue hairline. It's funny that you say that because when I first started, I was still in training. And I was on, I was working on day shift and I was sitting like kind of in the corner and it was TC week. And that particular year we had the different days, you know, so like crazy hat day, shirts and stuff. So I had this hat, it actually was my daughter's and it was almost like a jester hat. It was bright pink and had some orange and bells on it and flames. It was crazy. Right. So I wore this thing to work. I thought it was, you know, let's go all out. That day, the sheriff decided to come in and visit us. And so he walks around the room, shaking hands and talking to people. And he comes over by me and I turn around. I'm like, hi. And he just goes, he just stares at me with this blank expression on his face. And then just kind of walks away. He didn't say anything to me. I was like, oh, all right. I thought this was supposed to be fun. Apparently he doesn't appreciate the level of fun I'm bringing to this agency.
Is this the old administration?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck him.
Yeah. He turned
me. I was just about
your current sheriff,
that.
Right?
Yeah. No, not the current sheriff. And we haven't had that day anyway, but it was just so funny. And it's really funny because one of our coworkers, Chantel, brought it up because she remembers when it happened. So she laughs hysterically every time she thinks about it.
Because just like crickets in the room. You're like,
That's exactly what it was. It's a
nice
weird,
to be
awkward
you.
Moment, you know?
Yeah.
Did you do that when he showed up everywhere in his running pants?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, for someone's retirement.
Yeah. I'm here in my tracksuit for this very special event.
Right. I literally just got out of bed and didn't even comb my hair.
Mm.
These are probably the clothes I slept in. Happy retirement.
And yeah. Here's my dog.
Yeah. Whatever.
I think the tattoos and piercings and hair color kind of coincide sometimes with at agencies with uniforms, you know, because there's a certain level that they're trying to present. I don't think there's an issue with them unless, first off, they're a problem. You know, so if you have a tongue piercing and it's always clicking on the phone or something, like, that doesn't always happen. But I have heard people with them, it makes noise when it hits their teeth. If that creates some sort of a problem or distraction, or if you have inappropriate tattoos, you know, if you've got a swastika on your forearm, maybe you're going to want to cover that up before you come in.
Right.
Or be fired. Whatever.
Or be fired.
Or not get hired in the first place. Yeah.
Right. And I just like, for like, and I have ink, you know, I think we all do.
Yeah.
But I just like cannot get down with the face tattoos. I went on a trip 3 years ago, and the city that we were in, I have never seen so many tattoos on faces. It was like everybody looked like Post Malone. I was like, oh my God. Like,
and that's not a good look.
It really isn't. I just
know. Well, so the one thing that I like, another very specific pet peeve I have about the tattoo thing, because I have tattoos, I have, you know, working on a sleeve. Why do agencies grandfather in tattoos? So half of the police department has visible tattoos and sleeves that they're allowed to have exposed, but the new guys have to cover theirs. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I think grandfathering, if you're going to allow people to see them, you're going to allow them to see them, right?
Right.
So if you have a tattoo policy and you're talking about grandfathering it, I could see if somebody's been working there for, you know, 15 years and there wasn't a policy before, and now there's a policy against having them. Now they should have to cover them up. Everybody should have to cover them up if that's the policy.
Right. So everyone covers them up or everyone doesn't, because I think it's so dumb. These guys are going out on calls with their partners. Their partners have full sleeves and it's no problem. Meanwhile, they're wearing compression sacks on their arms and they look like freaking burn victims.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, why are you wearing that weird shirt? Like, oh, I have tattoos. So does he. Oh, well, he's been here 2 years longer than me. What? That's so dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
Years ago, I worked for a restaurant and we hired this guy. And when he came in for his interview, he was wearing a suit, you know, dressed very nice. We had to wear shirts or short sleeve polos and shorts.
I'm glad you had to wear shirts
as our uniform.
Yes, yes.
And so once he got hired and he came in the uniform, he full legs, full arms. And that was against policy. And he's like, what do you want me to do? So he would ace bandage himself on his arms and legs. And so his tables would be like, what's going on? And he would tell people like, oh, I was hit by a bus. This is my first money at this guy. Like, out of pity, they'd be like,
oh my God,
we're so sorry. You know, we hope like your recovery is great. I'm like, this guy's brilliant. Like,
right?
He is making way more money than everybody else.
He looks like the invisible man.
Wasn't GoFundMe back then.
Well, I got a tattoo. I have like 15 tattoos, but when I was working in LA on the ambulance, I got a tattoo, like my first visible tattoo on my arm. And before I got it, I asked my boss, like, hey, I'm getting this tattoo. It's a bird. It's nothing offensive. Like, there's no bad words. There's no naked women. Is it okay for me to have it exposed? Because it has to heal for a few weeks and I can't cover it up during that time. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. No problem. So then when I came back with it, they were like, no, you have to cover it. Well, it was LA in the summer, so it was like 115 degrees out. This thing got so nasty infected so quickly. I was so mad because it ruined it.
Yeah. Sure.
And I was, because I worked 24-hour shifts or sometimes 72-hour shifts. So I'd have the thing covered for 3 days at a time. And no matter how often I like took the cover off and washed it and tried to make sure that I was keeping it clean and dry. Again, it's LA and 115 degrees outside. It was gross.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I got hired here, I made sure, like, I have a lip piercing. That's really it as far as piercings go. And I have a ton of visible tattoos now. Is it okay? And they're like, yeah, it's fine. I'm like, 'cause I'm not fucking covering them. I'm done doing that. Right. They're not offensive. I don't have words. I don't have anything, no weird images, but yeah.
I see that we have internet use on here, and I, you know, phones aside, we absolutely should have internet access and be able to use it. You know, I'm not saying even from the personal aspect of shopping or whatever. I worked for an agency that had everything blocked. When people call in businesses, you know, I'm in front of blah, 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 and it's a new business and it's not built into your CAD system yet. Yep. Or you're trying to find answers to things that you need right this second.
Right.
That is your most valuable resource for that.
Right. And yeah, a big and part of our job is investigating, and we can't. Correct.
I mean, there's so many uses for the internet in what we do.
Right.
I really am shocked by the amount of agencies that still prohibit and have it blocked for their employees to use, because that's a liability. I mean, like,
right,
they could access this if you allowed it. I mean, you could even put, you know, whatever kind of blocker to prevent them from going to social media sites or, you know, shopping or whatever, but to have it completely blocked and you're preventing them from having access to getting help to the people that are calling us for it.
Right.
And
that, and even social media, like, I we can't tell you how much information I found out on Facebook.
Suicide yeah. threats. Yeah. When people's profiles are public, you can log YouTube right videos. On and, you know, here you can sign their entry to the hospital because they posted right here. They're going to blow their head off. There's a picture of a gun.
Right.
It's here.
We've had people call and tell us that this guy is posting YouTube videos threatening to kill you guys. And we go on his YouTube page and we're like, holy shit, here it is. So, but I do know that there are some agencies that don't allow any internet use. And that's crazy to me because then they are looking it up on their phones.
Yeah. Which they probably can't use either. If you have no internet policy, you certainly have a no cell phone policy.
Right. Exactly.
Sure. We had years ago, I got denied for training, and it was a investigations class on how to locate people or information on people, like using certain apps and how to use them effectively to look up and find people and all that stuff. And I got denied. And the reason I got denied is they didn't see a need for me to have that information. I'm like, do you know how many times in a day that just doing a paper service that we have to run the person, you know how often I have to dig around just to try and find this person and locate addresses for our deputies? Because they're like, well, they're not here. Do you have any other addresses? Well, no, we don't, but let's see what we can find. I mean, we're tasked with it constantly, but I got denied. I was like,
right,
that just clearly tells me you have no idea what it is we actually do on a day-to-day.
Right. Or sometimes even respect what it is that we do.
Right.
Right.
You know, because I'm not saying that's the case for our department. I'm just saying, you know, in general, you know, the people deny us, or we have policies in place and they're written by people who have never stepped foot in our room and understand what it is that we do.
Right.
You know, and understand why these things are going to be useful for us. Like, you don't want us to have the internet, but so we go on our phones. You know, I don't think that I should have to use my phone.
Oh, and it's stuff for this.
No,
because you won't give me the internet access to do it. Are you going to, you know, pay my phone bill now that I'm actively using it at work all fucking day because you won't give me the internet?
Right. Well, and they don't realize our responders are in the field. They don't have access to a computer immediately.
Exactly.
Their MDTs barely run CAD. They can't even use Internet Explorer on it.
Right.
And they end up using.
And they shouldn't
phone.
Have to do that. That's what we're for.
Yeah, while you're out on a call with someone, I'm not going to be freaking Googling their Facebook page to try to find their aunt's phone. You know, like, no, we can do that. That's why we're here. We can help you with that. But I do know that there are agencies that don't have internet access. And I think it's, again, like there was a problem group of people or a problem person that was abusing it. And instead of addressing it or trying to fix it, they just said, you guys aren't allowed to have the internet anymore.
Right. Rather than deal with the problem, they just
shut it all
worse
down.
Essentially.
And God forbid I tell them, oh, no, I can't look that up. That's not something we're supposed to do.
Subordination.
I have it right here on my training request that it was denied, that it's not something I need to do. So sorry. Womp womp. And I think the I was gonna say something about the internet use, but obviously you just have to have common sense policies and common sense people.
It's the same thing if you're reading a book. I mean, you could just as easily not put your book down and answer the phone.
Correct.
As you could with your phone or web surfing or whatever.
I mean, watching TV. Yeah.
But I mean, there are some agencies that don't even allow books and you have to literally just sit there.
I couldn't when do that.
We had a few years ago, there were several girls in the center, myself included, who were knitting or crocheting at work.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so dumb because it's something that keeps your mind occupied, but you can put it down really quickly.
Sure.
I don't see any issue with it at all. You know, there's no, like, it's not like we're hot gluing macaroni to picture frames. Like there's nothing. It's right. Very simple. You have two, you know, a crochet
that
hook
was
and
the
some
following
yarn.
Week.
Right. Yeah. That was the next week's activities. But one of our girls got in trouble for it because she happened to sell her crocheted items like at fairs and, you know, flea markets or whatever. So they claimed, well, technically you're
on the clock here.
A second
you're
job.
On the clock here and you're doing something for your side business and getting paid to be. And I was like, she's crocheting a hat for her granddaughter. Like, don't twist this around.
The thing is with that is there's two things. One, if you're doing a task like that, there's plenty of evidence out there to show that you're using your mind and you are keeping it sharp by doing something.
Right.
Sure. Okay. So, you know, it's not like you're staring at, you know, some stupid YouTube video that probably isn't stimulating, you know, fat videos or some shit. If you're watching an educational video, yeah, maybe that keeps your brain going instead of just sitting there and vegging out, because you forget way more shit when you're slow than you do when you're busy. That's 100%. Just all there is to it. And yep. Then I don't like that premise of what is the difference if you watch one shift, sit and watch HGTV all day, or you know, the one thing I can't do, so I, you know, I'm a realtor outside of here and I'm not allowed to do my real estate stuff at work.
Of course.
You know, I'm not allowed to do that.
But, and I don't disagree with not working on side businesses while you're on the clock. Like I get the reasoning there. I understand it.
I do get it. But if I'm looking at houses, you know, real estate houses and sending them to a client versus and that's because I get paid for it eventually. I'm not getting paid right then, and I may not ever get paid. But okay, you want to make that argument, then that the person next to me who's not buying a house and doesn't do real estate shouldn't be allowed to be on realtor.com all day looking at fucking houses. Don't tell me I can't look at houses because I get paid for it potentially, but they can be on the internet looking at Zillow and realtor.com.
Right, exactly.
There's absolutely no difference. None.
I feel attached. That's like one of my favorite pastimes is looking.
I do. Yeah. We're looking for a house. So we do it all the time. But
sure.
In that same like group, I got in trouble because I had a quote unquote side business. I was in like an MLM type of thing. And I had set up my Facebook group that I had for the business.
Scheduled I had set it up posts.
Scheduled posts.
Yep. We had the
and
same
I scheduled them
issue
like
with an employee.
Weeks in advance.
Sure.
And I got pulled into a meeting with them because they're like, well, you're posting this at times that you're at work. And I'm like, first of all, because of what the software that I was using to post it, it would say it was shared via something.
Right.
So I can show you here where I scheduled all the posts on my day off and it's just automatically posting.
Right.
And they ended up dropping it because of that. But it like, so I'm not allowed to post a status on Facebook while I'm at work, even if I'm on break, even if it has nothing to do with a business.
Right.
Right. What, and yeah, how do you what monitor if, that? What if I'm up? Like,
right.
It's
right.
My
like
break,
I can't
right?
comment yeah. on someone else's post because I go on the HTH page all the time. I'm like, hey, does anyone have a policy about this? I'm just trying to pull some, you know, information to give to my manager. That's not allowed.
Yeah,
pretty sure Janelle posted something from work.
That was because I thought of that. But I've done that before too and been like, hey, can someone help me with this? Or right. do you guys have any resources for this? So,
hey, Indiana people, how do you run this license plate?
Yeah, right. How in the fuck do you run any of your plates? Because Jesus.
Right. But I mean, I've posted questions for other agencies through HTH before during my shift because I'm trying to figure something out. And can
when
somebody
3.0
especially if it's a 3.0 issue. Yeah, absolutely.
We were all on the page like, hey, does anyone know how to enter a sex offender? Because it's not working. It's telling me the date is wrong. Like,
right. And a lot of times you get an answer right away.
And right. You know, the vast majority of my posts. That makes me so proud to be a dispatcher and to see like how everybody pulls together from other agencies. And right. Like, that makes me proud. That should be a, hey, good job. Instead of,
right. Yeah, no, I literally learned on Facebook? Leads 3.0 from other dispatchers on our page.
Yeah.
Not right. The state. The state did not teach me anything about Leads 3.0.
Not one single thing.
My colleagues did. So
you guys didn't like those YouTube videos?
I didn't even watch them.
They were so useless. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they were useless though.
They were so dry.
Because it was like, here's how you navigate to the printer. Fucking cool. How do you run a plate?
Right. You navigate to the printer the same fucking way you do every other damn program.
Right. I'm like, how do you run a name? It's not, I don't know where to find that. Like, can you help me, please?
But you know how to print it. So.
Right. Yeah. And even then, the printing thing is so stupid, but. Anyway,
that's another podcast.
Yeah, rant. That's right.
It's a whole day podcast.
We could do a 3-part podcast on that.
Right. Part 16 of Leads 3.0.
I think the last one I see on here, I don't know if anybody else. I mean, we talked. Actually, there's two. The uniforms, yes or no. We don't require uniforms anymore. We used to, but we don't have uniforms. It's just regular clothes. For the most part.
And our uniforms were just the polos, because there's still some agencies out there that have the full
like a police uniform.
Yeah.
And
that's extra.
I guess for me, it depends on how often are you having contact with the public.
Right.
And how big of an agency are you? We're a fairly small agency. We serve a somewhat small population. We have logoed polos. Which again, like as someone who's been involved in an incident where the media was sitting outside, it was nice to not walk outside in like a Grateful Dead t-shirt and be like, oh, you work here?
You just leave with a broom and a mop in your hand.
I was just going to say, I was checking the plumbing.
Everything is all clean. It's
no, I'm IT.
Just like, I'm not even sure how I got in the building. I don't know what happened.
I'm delivering it from Grubhub.
So yeah, I mean that was nice, but we still like on Christmas we wear our pajamas to work because it's Christmas. We have to work on Christmas. I'm gonna come in sweatpants because this is stupid. Like, I'm sorry.
I like it.
So yeah, I guess it just depends, like I said, on your level of contact with the public. That's my deal with it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Then there's a thing about relationships with responders. Was that what you were talking about, Norm?
Yeah, inner office relationships and also relationships with the people we dispatch for, right? I think that's getting at. So personally, the reality is, and I think we've touched on this on other podcasts before, in when it comes to relationships, a lot of people meet people at their work because this is where they spend a lot of their time.
Right.
And
right.
They also have a connection and a bond with them because of what they do. So I get it. And how do you prevent that? How do you say, oh, listen, you fell in love? No. How's that going to work?
Right.
My former agency had an anti-nepotism policy. They weren't allowed to have any kind of relationships, like interdepartmentally. Like you could be friends, but like they did not approve of boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, siblings, cousins, anything like that.
Well, that's easy. We're just friends and we're banging. It's cool.
We're friends with benefits.
We had an officer marry somebody on the fire department, which was fine, but the fire department's dad was actually a commander at the PD, so therefore she became his daughter-in-law and she had to leave. Well, one of them had to leave.
And I will say, so I have been in a relationship with one of our officers, or an officer that I was dispatching for at the time. And I'm so proud of how we handled it. No one knew we were dating until months after we broke up. Someone figured out that we had been on vacation at the same time and they in the same place. And they were like, were you guys together? And we're like, yeah, but we're not anymore. So, I mean, no one knew. We were very, very quiet about it. But I also know that, like, this type of work, if you're dispatching for your partner who's out on a call and that call turns bad, how are you going to react to that?
Right.
Are you going to be able to continue working? And that's really my only issue with it is, are you going to be able to continue working if your husband or girlfriend or whatever is not answering the radio or in a potentially dangerous situation and you're freaking out?
Yeah, I get that point and I understand it. And I understand the reason for not allowing it to occur. The reality is, though, is we work with these people every day, day in and day out. We dispatch for them for years and years and years before they ever go to another division, or maybe they never do and we're with that person all the time. And even if you're not in a relationship with them, if I'm dispatching and it's a deputy that's out there, especially one we worked with for a while, but even all of them, they're not answering their radio, I get a little like, oh shit, come on, please don't, and if something were to happen, probably would be upset. Some people would be more upset than others. Everybody's going to react differently because they have a different connection. So does it add another level of potential for that? Yes, but you don't know how somebody's going to react if one of our people is hurt or attacked or anything on a call anyway.
So I
know people in our center right now, even these guys here that would be like, I got to walk away. This is too much. You know, I've known him for 10 years and it's terrible that this happened. I've hung out with them. I've gone to their kids' birthday parties. I took their pictures for their family, you know, whatever. So we all automatically have a connection with these people that, you know, the general public doesn't see. So does it add a level of complexity? Yes. So I understand why they don't want to make it more complicated, but some people work so much that they don't get the opportunity outside of here
to go anywhere and do anything, do
other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't go out and they could. Some people pull themselves back because they don't want to deal with regular people. And I understand that, but you know, it's going to happen. You can't stop it, but it's the outcome that you have to mitigate. Like Charisse was saying at her previous agency where they, you know, you can't have a husband or a wife supervising their spouse. They can't do it. We've had that by us. We have a husband and a wife. They can't be on the same shift. They won't allow them to be on the same shift. And at one point in time, he was a supervisor and she was an assistant supervisor. And they wouldn't allow him to be on the same shift, even if she has the seniority to be on the same shift as him.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because I don't even think the issue of like favoritism comes up, because what perks is my boyfriend going to get?
I don't know.
I don't give you every call. Like, no, you're still going to get the same call. You know, like, I don't know. It's just like, there's not even a way to favorite, at least for us. There's not really a way to favorite people, I guess. But, and I mean, so we're not allowed to date within our town. Anyone that works for our town that we work in, we cannot date within there. But we also dispatch for 6 other agencies.
Right.
So that happens. We have a dispatcher who's currently with an officer from a different town. That's fine. Because they're not breaking any rules. And I mean, they handle it really well. You wouldn't even know unless you knew them personally that they were dating. Like, it's not an issue. It's
easier in larger agencies for that than it is in smaller ones. And I can see why.
Yeah. I think, you know, in this industry, again, you know, you're setting people up to have relationships with each other, unless you're working day shift, which everyone else on the planet works, because, you know, you work the same shift with these people, you sacrifice the same holidays with these people, working afternoon shift, you can't go home and hang out with your family because they're all asleep. Well, so what do?
Yeah,
you
hang out with your coworkers. Who wants to hang out at 11:30 at night? Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
You're setting people up to have relationships with each other because they cannot have them with anybody else. So what can you what do you reasonably expect to happen when you put all of these people together?
Right.
You know, craziness. What is Norm doing?
I don't know. I thought he was like taking a photo of us, and then I realized he was just turning his light off.
No, I was actually my laptop, the cord for this laptop, so I have two of them. The one that we usually use for HTH was, it was about to die. That's how long we've been talking. Plus the battery life isn't that great.
Oh, wow.
So I plugged it. I had to move to plug it in. And then the light that I was using to, you know, give me that handsome glow looked like it was dying as well. So I was just plugging it in. So.
It was like, for a second I thought we were like taking a trip to the bathroom with you. And then you were like taking a photo of us. And I was very confused.
I thought it was the losing my religion video. He's bald. He's in the corner and he's got a spotlight. I'm like...
Hello everyone, editing Kaylee here. I just wanted to pop in and explain what's going on in this portion of the episode. We were doing this via Zoom, and I think we forgot for a moment that you guys can't see us. So the item that Norm is showing to us is a solid chocolate handgun. So that's what we're discussing. Back to the episode.
You want to see, I got this chocolate for Christmas. This is chocolate.
Ooh. Oh, that's awesome.
A straight up chocolate.
Okay. Are you going to eat
it? You like that trigger discipline right there? Look at that. Finger off the trigger. But
is it flavored?
No. Yeah, it's gunpowder flavored.
He's like.
I haven't like tried it. To eat it yet. It's solid, though. It's a solid piece of chocolate.
Could you imagine just having that in your lunchbox and bringing it to work?
I'm so glad Norm's smelling his fingers.
It smells
this
like
just
chocolate.
Took a really weird turn.
It please really don't did. Smell those two fingers. Like
smelling your fingers in the center. Yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Well, yeah. Washing your hands in the center. Yes or no?
Right.
So speaking of like washing and hygiene and things, what about perfumes and colognes?
Oh yeah. I don't, it depends. It really does.
It shouldn't
and I feel like it depends on whether or not you like the smell.
Mm. Right.
Because feel like there are people who you can't smell their perfume until you're like within a foot of them.
Right.
And
which
that's
I think
fine.
Is kind of how it should be.
Right.
Especially
that is actually the correct way to
in
wear
close
perfume.
Proximity.
I don't know. Yeah. Like do you,
or like like Brendan always smells good to me. Like I feel like I agree with Brendan's nose. Because yeah. I like the colognes that he wears. No, I'm saying like, you know, and I've met other people like that. I've always liked the colognes that they've chosen. Sometimes there are people that I'll be like, oh, you smell really good. And the next day they're wearing something else. And it's like, oh, now I'm getting a migraine. Can you go sit in another room?
Yeah. Now you smell like straight up pepper. I don't like it.
Right. You know, and it's hard because for me, I get migraines triggered by fragrances. Like I cannot. Like the aerosol Lysol, I can't. Like one day somebody decided to bomb their desk at work with it. And by the time I realized what was going on, I had to go home because I couldn't see my migraine was so bad.
So last week, it's pretty funny. Last week, I think it was it had to be last week. Brendan did smell good, but I was sitting next to him, but I couldn't smell him until I got halfway over. It was like there was a ring. Like once I hit that barrier, I could smell him, but
his odor ring.
I couldn't. And the problem is you're correct. People are sensitive to certain smells or ingredients or whatever. Some people wear vanilla scented fake stuff and that's disgusting, right? So, but the issue is how do you dictate what that person wears versus somebody else?
So warm vanilla sugar from Bath and Body Works, like
if you're yes, right.
No, yeah, no.
Right. Or that stupid the
vanilla
the sparkly hemp lotion that's spun sugar or whatever. I've worn that before to work. My head's glistening. I might put some on today, actually. I think you either have to have an all or nothing policy. You can't dictate what one person gets to wear and another because it's okay.
And that's just it. Like, I don't, you know, I think that in situations like ours where we do sit close to each other or some equipment is shared, which then picks up the odor of it.
Right.
I had a rental car a few weeks ago and the seatbelt from the cologne of the previous renter so bad. And I was like, I had the window cracked and I'm like, I couldn't, it was awful. And I smelled like it when I got out of the car. Like I'm in my house and I still smell like the seatbelt of the car. That's not
like some strange like, man's cologne. That's really off-putting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've gotten cups from McDonald's that reek of nasty hand lotion and it's on my cup.
Oh.
And I'm like,
ew.
You're like walking through the mall and you walk past someone, you're like, whoa, someone like bathed in cologne.
You taste awful.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I think it should be okay for people to wear perfumes or colognes that they want to wear as long as they're not overpowering. Like,
how do you determine what?
How do you determine that?
Who decides that?
If your partners can smell it more than 3 feet away from you, that's not okay.
Right. I think if it's an irritant, then it's definitely a problem. I know that I'm a Bath and Body Works whore. I literally have a dozen different of their body washes and their corresponding lotions.
You could have dropped the Bath and Body Works.
What's that?
I said you could have dropped the Bath and Body Works.
You're just a whore, is what she's saying.
But yeah, so I know I come in and I smell fragrance. If it's ever too much or if there's something you don't agree with, let me know and I won't.
No, I think it's all taste though, because it depends on who.
Scent is like, such a personal thing.
It is.
We were just talking about that with the essential oils thing, because we have an essential oil diffuser at our center, but we had to take a poll of like, here are the 8 scents that we have. Are any of them offensive to anyone? Like if this is in the diffuser, is it going to bother anyone? And we had to take out like cinnamon was one that a couple of people were like, dude, I can't do the cinnamon. It's way too much. But I mean, most of the rest of it was pretty mild. So
to me, it's like, I hear you say that and I'm like, it's just easier to say no essential oils. Like,
right.
I know it's the fair thing to do, but I'm like, shit, let's just screw it. I don't even want to play around with this, but I understand why. And I agree with that process. It's just tedious sometimes. And it's like,
when we're a smaller center,
yeah,
multiple people wanted the diffuser. So my boss was like, it's fine. As long as you guys aren't putting anything gross in there. Like, I don't have an issue with it. So.
And let's be honest, throwing a little moisture in the air right now in the summer is really nice.
Exactly. And maybe some calming oil. but yeah, I can understand how when you have a center of like 30 or 50 or 100 people, you can't go through everyone's personal tastes and preferences and pick out what everyone's tolerating. So then you might be like, we're just not going to do the diffuser because it's too complicated for everyone.
Yeah. Right.
Agreed.
So.
Anyway.
Indeed.
Yes. I'd be curious as to what other people say. I'd like to hear about their internet policies and some of the stuff that we talked about. I know we polled people on the page to ask them, you know, do you have anything that are yes or no's in their centers or whatever. But now that we've talked about it a little bit, it'd be cool to hear what people have to say. What kind
of a lot of people had opinions about cell phones. That was a big. Yeah.
What if we make individual posts today and like throw them up periodically? Like we talked about this on the podcast today. Give us a listen, but what's your opinion?
Right.
Right.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Maybe we can do that while we're sitting at work.
Yeah. Well, you're not getting paid to be here, so I think it's fine.
That's right.
Speaking of, somebody on LinkedIn just reached out to me about my payroll needs for humanizing the headset.
Oh, I get so many emails.
I got a weird email.
Can we help you with your HR and your payroll and your IT? And I'm like, dude, do you know?
Did anyone else get the email this morning from Sunita Sahu?
Is that the bespoke tailor?
I don't know. Hajukasant@gmail.com. I hope you and your family are safe in the time of crisis. Do you want to get more customers online? Get your website on Google. What?
Our website is on Google.
This is a weird fucking email.
Do you want to get more customers online? So there's another option besides OnlyFans?
Damn it. Patreon? No.
Too far. Yeah, I see it. I got it. I see it here.
Yeah, I just thought
that was like at almost 4 a.m.
Yeah, I hope you and your family are safe in the time of crisis. But do you want more customers?
It wasn't 4 a.m. from the land that he sent it from. Yeah.
Right.
From where he is in Pakistan.
Right.
It's not 4 a.m.
Oh, more customers on the Google.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, like if he's a prince, he's mine.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a prince, all right.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I love getting those spam phone calls, and you can clearly hear that they're like in a cafe. There's like 400 people talking behind them. You can hear dishes clanking around and like coffee being made. And you're like, where are you?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They're in a factory making Nike shoes while they're placing those phone calls.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Hey, everybody. Well, I think we should probably wrap this bad boy up.
Wrap it up.
And, yeah, we might have to make this a two-parter because it's been like 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
Well, some of it was
we could probably cut the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. That was the best part.
That's what it usually is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Before we sign off, we didn't talk about the thin gold shine.
Oh, yeah?
So if... the Thin Gold Shine Award is our new award that we have. It's designed to showcase the amazing things that you guys are doing both behind the headset and in your communities. So if you know of someone who is going above and beyond at your center, inside the center or outside, you can recommend them by visiting our website. We have an awesome certificate that we designed that we're going to send out to you with some HTH swag and some other things as well. And one of the monthly winners at the end of the year will be our sort of grand prize, quote unquote, winner. And they will receive a full tuition and lodging scholarship for the 911 Leadership Academy at the Mayan Ranch in Texas that Joe Sirio and the 360 degree dispatcher do. You just got to pay to get yourself there. But yeah, so it's a $1,300 value that one of them will win, that we're happy to, help sponsor to get you guys there. So if you know somebody, nominate them, visit our website. It's ongoing. So if you know someone that you want to nominate now and 6 months later, you want to nominate somebody else, please do so. We're going to be, we're going to be announcing on the 15th of every month. So, keep your eyes open for that. And yeah, we're super excited about it. It's one of the biggest things that we've ever done.
It's pretty cool. So. And I, you know, the submissions that we've gotten this time, I want to point out to people, we had some very in-depth, great submissions that explained really why they were nominating the person and the reasons, you know.
Yeah. And the more info you have, the better. I mean, it's just going to.
Yeah. If you're going to nominate someone.
Then gold shine.
Really take a couple of minutes to write some stuff about that person and what they've done for their community or what they've done for your center, because while we appreciate the couple, you know, the few that we got, there were just a couple of sentences. The ones that we got that had a ton of information were great to read about, because it's just this person's bragging about their friend or coworker.
Right.
And it was really cool to read like how much they admired these people. So
right.
I was wowed by a few of them, and that's
for
sure. We want the wows.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like we're doing some amazing things out there, and it's time that we recognize that, even if it's not at work. You know,
there's no merit to if you submit your coworker or your boss or whatever, and say, you know, they go above and beyond. They're awesome. Okay, why?
Right.
Right.
Be specific as possible. Going
above and beyond. So we need you to put some effort into it. It's not that we know you appreciate them. We're not doubting that they're awesome and that they go above and beyond, but how do they go above and beyond? Because we have, like we said, we have some people that put 5-6 paragraphs of in-depth stuff that people are really making a difference in their communities and at their centers, and a combination of both. You know, and that's really what we're looking for. We're trying to figure out why you want us to award these people. And, you know, not taking anything away from those others that were nominated with not much of a description, but there's some pretty, I agree, there's there were several.
There was some good competition out there.
It was tough going through.
It was. We had to pick a couple people, and I had like six names written down. And I was like, oh crap, how am I going to choose? Okay.
yes.
Right.
And if you haven't checked it out, we do have a podcast episode where we talk to Joe Sirio about the ranch. We had one of his recipients that won a scholarship to get to go. Yep. She was on and talked about her experience. So we go check out that episode.
That was episode 15. It was multiple epiphanies.
Yes. Go check that one out.
That was a good
one. That was a good one. It was
a really good one.
Joe's a great guy. He's super fun. So.
Yep. Well, thanks everybody. I appreciate you all hanging out. Here. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
See you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.